there's one thing the devil would like for all of us to believe. That is, and of course there's many things that he'd like for us to believe. But one of them is things you've prayed for a while that hasn't changed, just give up on it. Because it's not going to happen. But as long as the Lord is on his throne, there's hope. Amen. And we can keep praying and keep bringing our petitions before the Lord. And sometimes we don't see things, but sometimes we do. And the Lord has his way and has his will. Amen. But you don't never know what God is doing in someone's life that you're praying for. You may not see anything, but if you're praying, the Lord's doing something. It may just not be exactly what you would like to see, or I'd like to see. But I believe he's doing something. Amen. What a blessing. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I desire your prayers this morning for just a few minutes. Matthew chapter number 1. And it's a very, very familiar reading. Last week we'd preached some about John's gospel and how that John wanted to show the world, and God allowed him through inspiration that Jesus was the Son of God and God the Son. And I'm not going to do this similar thing, but I do want to say Matthew, his gospel, if you'll read it, he concentrates on wanting to show the world, and it's all by design. It's by the Holy Spirit's design that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write a little differently than John or Mark or Luke. Each one of them showed Christ in a different way. But the same Christ, our Lord, as you know, is all things to all men. Amen. He's not just water, he's bread. Amen. And he's not just high priest, he's the lamb slain. Amen. He's all that is in prophecy's fulfillment of what God must needs do to redeem man back to himself. But Matthew shows him as king. King of kings. And shows, talks about his kingdom. You'll see a lot of kingdom doctrine in the book of Matthew. It's his writing is geared a lot toward the Jewish people, trying to show them that he is the king. Not there to set up the kingdom at that point, but that he is the king. And he will reign again. He tells him in his gospel that in the book of Matthew chapter 13, he said, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." He talks about the kingdom of God's Son. And Jesus himself said at the end of chapter 16, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." There's that language again. Coming in his kingdom. There be some standing here. In other words, on the earth. There'll be people standing that they'll not see death. That's us. Amen. And praise God. So Matthew speaks a lot about the kingship. Matthew is also known as Levi. If you read in the Gospels and it talks about a man named Levi, that's Matthew. He's also called Levi. He was a Jew, but he was a tax collector for Rome. He was one of those Jews that was hated by the Jews because of the job that he had to do. And but he's there to show that Jesus of Nazareth is the kingly Messiah of the Old Testament Jewish prophecy. And the main theme of this book is Jesus is God's promised Messiah and the King of the Jews. Now in Matthew chapter number 1 is where I want to pick up. This is where I want to preach about this morning, is the birth of Christ. In verse number 18, he says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." I want to preach just for a few minutes on the birth of Jesus Christ in the life of Joseph. I want us to look at Joseph here and all that was happening in Joseph's life concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. And it was important that Joseph be informed of everything that the angel would inform him. I mean, if you look at this, you have a virgin girl. And Isaiah, the prophet, is the one in verse 22, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that's Isaiah, saying, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin." And so, in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, they had not come together. She was a virgin. She was not a mother. She was going to be his mother. But she is right now at the beginning at this point, a virgin girl. She had not been touched by a boy or a young man. She had never known a young man or a boy in that way. She was clean and pure and chaste in the eyes of God. That's something that's still important today in society. Listen, that young people stay that way until God puts you together with a spouse. It's supposed to be something very special. It's supposed to be an eternal bond. It's not something you share with everybody, but with that one person that God will join you together with. But the world has perverted it as it has perverted everything else. But Mary, she is a virgin and she is espoused. She is courting Joseph, so to speak. She is in a courtship. Promises have been made. He had not just got beyond the point of just getting to know her name and getting to know her family and, just casually saying hello. They were in the courting stage. He had asked permission to marry Mary, that she would become his wife. Joseph saw in her something that he was looking for in a wife, a chaste virgin, a godly young lady. Young man, that's what you should be looking for. Still looking for in the day that we live. So they were espoused. They were in that courting phase. But it was before they'd come together still. Before they'd come together. Now, a lot of people, they get, engaged. And they think, well, it's okay to start acting like husband and wife. No, it's not. It's not. It's not until the consummation of your marriage. I mean, that is to be made on your wedding night. Amen. After the ceremony, after God shines His blessings upon you, after you join together in covenant before God and before your family and before those around you. It's supposed to be a testimony to the community. I am now married to this person. I have left father and mother and now am cleaving to them. I am moving from one house to another house. It's a testimony that all know. That way you're not mistaken for something that you're not. Amen? It's a testimony to society. And so Joseph sees her. And before they were come together, and he knew. Why? Because Joseph, the Bible said in verse 19, being a just man. Joseph was a godly man. Joseph was of the house of David. Joseph knew what it meant to be of the house of David. The possibility, are you listening to me? That could take place being a part of the house of David. And so he was a godly man, a just man, seeking a just marriage with a chaste wife. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the first time something like, I want you to just stay with me for a minute, okay? I know I'm a little slowed down this morning. I'm trying to get this out. I want you to see the birth of Jesus Christ through the eyes of Joseph. Now, here it is. He is seeing his virgin that he has chosen, that he has waited for. I believe he was a virgin. I really do. He was a just man. He had waited. And so now he sees that she is with child. There's only one thing that can cause that to happen in the natural realm. Everybody thinks she has been with someone else. But the Bible said she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph did not know she was going to be the prophesied virgin of Isaiah. She had not been set aside. It had not been told by the high priest that would happen in her home. Nothing of any case at all had been said. She was just another clean, pure young lady. And it looked like there's been a mistake made. But he is a just man. Let me show you something about love this morning. He was a just man and not willing. He was not willing to make her a public example. You know what the average man in Palestine would have done to a young lady they were espoused to if they'd have been found with child? He would have either insisted that she be dragged outside of the gate and stoned to death, or at the least, the very least, he would have broken off the whole thing publicly and shamed her in front of everyone. But he was not willing. Why was Joseph not willing? No doubt there was something in Joseph that knew something about the character of Mary, this young virgin. Listen, God don't just walk up to any young lady and just point them out and say, you'll do. I mean, there was had to be, and for her to become the chosen one, the mother of God. Are you listening to me? And now listen, that title's only going to last until the death of Jesus, because she becomes a sinner just like anyone else. But the true fact is, she was highly favored. The Bible said, highly favored. God looked upon her. You talk about a young lady with character, godly character, that watched her testimony, that watched everything about what she was. Why? Because people will say a lot just by looking at you and or knowing anything about your life that's insinuative. Are you listening to me? It leaves testimonies and words to float about. She didn't want to live that kind of life. She was a chaste young lady. Joseph knew of her strong testimony. And he loved her. He loved her. He didn't want to put her through that. Whatever's happened, I don't want to shame her. She has kept her life. She is such a highly favored person. Listen, that God Almighty picked her out. Are you listening to me? She had to have been exceptional. An exceptional young lady. But listen, all of them could have been just as she was. You choose how you're going to be. You choose how you're going to live. You make the decisions in your life every day, whether you're going to be chaste or not, whether you'll stay virgin or not, whether you're going to be loose or not, whether you're going to be worldly or not, whether you want to be highly favored of God or highly favored of men. You're going to make that choice. She made her choice. to be highly favored of God. He was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily to the side where nobody knew, however they were going to work it. But while he thought on these things, I like the character of Joseph. He's not just single-eyed about this event. God, maybe he's thinking, Lord, what has happened? I don't understand. This is not like her. I've been around. I've not seen anyone around. There's been no strangers around. She's with her family. She is always with someone. She's not, you know, sly and sneaky and conniving. Are you listening? I mean, well, no doubt you wonder when someone's been kept the way that Mary's been kept. How does this happen? And he is thinking on these things. He's meditating. Are you listening to me? He's in meditation with God. He's not talking to his best buddy. You know, trying to get, see if, you know, he thinks, you know, that there's something negative he might want to say about her, you know, and, you know, flare up the flame of jealousy or whatever that would come about. No, he's in meditation with God. There's only one person can give him the answer he's looking for. Joseph has trusted God. He picked her out believing God wanted her to be his wife. He knew her testimony. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. It was important. God knew this man was going to be the head of this home, that he needed to know everything that was happening, all that had happened, all that had transpired. And the first thing that he says to him, Joseph. Joseph, I know you. That's what he's saying. Joseph. You know, this is not just, you know, some unconscious dream he's having. An angel comes to him in a dream and lets him know that he knows who he is. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Ain't a doubt in my mind, just him saying that Joseph had a lot of fear upon him at this time. Fear of what if someone found out, you know, what would society do? What would his town do? What would people say? What would the Romans do? What would they require? What's it going to do to him? Fear not. To take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The answer. This, listen, here this angel gives Joseph divine encouragement. He gives him divine direction. The divine, could you imagine an angel saying, don't you fear? The angel say, don't fear, don't you be afraid. Well, I think that'd probably help take the fear out of me. And he gave him the direction, told him what to do. Take unto thee Mary thy wife, Joseph. You take her to wife. I mean, that's as clear as any direction a man could get. I'm glad that Joseph, while he was thinking on these things, that he chose to meditate to God about what to do. Now God is sending him relief and an answer in one night by the angel that he sent. Divine intervention came into Joseph's life. He had not made up his mind what to do, didn't know what to do. Have you ever been in a place you didn't know what to do? You need divine intervention. I need divine direction. That's what we need. We need God to tell us what to do. When we don't know what to do, stand still. Don't start walking. You may walk off a mountain. Amen? You may walk into a pit. Get divine direction from God. Get a message from heaven. So he tells him, don't be afraid to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There's no man touched her, Joseph. The power of the highest has overshadowed her. The power of the highest has overshadowed her. And that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. This is going to happen. Joseph, this is going to happen. It's been prophesied that it would happen. A virgin. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Joseph, you're going to call him Jesus. You're going to call him Jesus, Joseph. You're going to call him Jesus. You're going to call him Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. This is not an illegitimate child, as those would like to say today. The angel of the Lord is giving Joseph all the assurance that God has moved upon this young virgin. And that God in the flesh, he knows the scripture. He knows, and the angel, listen, goes on. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, he's reminding him, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph being raised from a dream. He gets all of that information and is raised from a dream. So he lets him know this is the prophesied one. This is God with us. This is the manifest God in the flesh. All this was done. All this was done. Verse 22. Have you ever just stopped to think about that? Now all of this was done. God did every bit of this, that it might be fulfilled. God, the first time he brought Joseph to where Mary was, all this was done. When he asked, can I marry her? Can I court her? All this was done. Are you listening to me? Coming down to the place where the wedding was not too far away. All this was done. And then her being with child, miraculously, a chaste virgin, a miracle. All this happened. God did all of this. God put you to sleep, Joseph. God let you know, Joseph, what you're going to call his name. God let you know the prophecy. God let you know that it was God himself that was coming in the flesh. All this was done that it might be fulfilled. I like this part. Joseph being raised from sleep. Then that hit me like a ton of bricks. Joseph, almost, it's like he experienced a resurrection. Being raised from sleep, Joseph was changed. Joseph was, he wasn't the same he was when he laid down that night, I promise you that. He was a changed man. A changed man. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. I'm going to take this young lady, I'm going to take this young virgin, she's going to be my wife. I'm going to help her raise this child. I'm not going to touch her till she delivers this child. And I'm going to call his name Jesus, because God told me to call his name Jesus. I'm going to call him Savior, because he's going to save his people, that's me included, from their sin. Can you imagine finding out that the child that's fixing to come out 9 months, I mean, listen, that child is going to be the Savior of the world, the one that's going to save your soul? And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. All of that's important, people. Because if she had been with child, had just begun with child, and then Joseph knew her, somebody could claim. That somehow man was involved in this. He was careful. He knew. He couldn't touch this young virgin. Not until she delivered. He called his name Jesus. To have a godly man to accept the dream, accept the prophecy, to take care of her. You read about them going up to Bethlehem in the days of her delivery. I always see Joseph, you know, just taking such careful care of her. And in doing so, taking such careful care of him that was coming. And everything that happened, it was amazing. Could you imagine? I mean, just with the knowledge that Joseph had. It says he'll be born in Bethlehem. And then get a letter or get a Roman soldier come by the house. You've all got to go up and pay your taxes. You got to be represented there. Knowing she's fixing to give birth, Brother Speed. And where's she going to give birth? They're going to be up in Bethlehem, where the house of David is. That's where he had to go. He was of the house of David. Can you see God's divine hand intervening? And then out of Egypt have I come. What was he thinking? What was Joseph thinking? What about that verse? Out of Egypt have I called my son. And then for the angel to warn him, go into Egypt. Keep the young child down there until I send word for you to come back. Boy, you talk about strength every time a prophecy was literally fulfilled and you had to be a part of making it happen. He was walking in the prophecy as it was being fulfilled. Him and Mary both. I mean, she was so joyed. She went up to her cousin Elizabeth and said, "The Holy Ghost overshadowed me." Think about that. The incarnation. Through this virgin girl and this young man. Given this greatest of all miracles. One of the greatest of all miracles happening right there, right at hand. I really believe there was a young virgin named Mary. And I really believe there was a young man named Joseph of the house of David that really lived. They experienced that, Brother Danny. And as much as they experienced that, first, listen, us that are saved, we're going to be just like it, when it's happening, we're going to be living in the prophecy. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. The whole reason God sent His Son, listen, wasn't just to amaze Joseph's mind or to prove to him that the prophecy had to be fulfilled. He had to come to save the world. He had to come that you could be saved. And He's come. He's done His part. And He's coming again. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Him? Really know Him? Is more than just this babe in a manger. But do you know Him as Jesus, Savior? I want you to stand this morning.